morning, Adam.
Morning, Jack.
How are you doing today?
Very blessed.
Very blessed. The sun is out. That's a big factor. That's a big factor for being blessed.
Hey, getting out of bed in the morning, Jack. I mean, I woke up today, so I got stuff to do today. That's what it is.
Well, that's right. That helps. That helps a lot to have something to do. These poor people are retiring. What are they doing after 6, 9 months? What do they do?
That's like a 6 or 9 days.
Pretty tough. Pretty tough.
Well, look at people filling up their schedules.
We're not talking about that today, though. We're going to talk about how do I get to be a better leader? How do I do that? Holy crap. How do we ever select that selection? Select that selection. How do we ever do that? We talk long and hard, often it seems, about leadership and what it means. How in the world do you define it? What is a leader? Do we know what that is? And if we do, then we might be able to make some headway. If we don't, how do we choose what's better if we don't know what a leader is?
Well, let me step way back, Jack, and then let me ask this question in terms of, well, why is this important and why is this relevant to our audience, right? Here we are in Dirty Secrets of Small Business, and so we're focused on small business. So why is leadership important for a small business owner, right? It's one of those things. And if you talk to almost any small business owner, Jack, if you ask them why they got into business for themselves, I think you'd be hard-pressed to have them answer one, answer two, answer three, answer 10, to say, hey, I wanted to be a leader, Jack. Is that going to roll off their tongue to say, hey, that's why I wanted to start my business, or that's why I have my business?
We'll never hear that statement.
Okay. So it's one of those things, I think, that's forced upon people, right? In terms of, you don't have a choice with this. If you're the owner of the business, by default, that spotlight gets on you, or as you're often fond of saying, Jack, it's you're naked on the stage with everybody staring at you, right? Mm-hmm. Create that kind of visual. So you're there. So whether you want to or not, you're going to be viewed as a leader. So it's one of those things that you have to be aware of, and you got to be working on it.
You can go off on so many different tangents on this.
Sure.
You know, what is leadership? Being out front, you can put somebody else out front of your company. Ultimately, you have the final decision, ultimately, but day to day, that could change. You know, you have the final say-so as being the owner, the majority owner, right? Mm-hmm. To basically put a stop to anything going on in a company or try to improve it. Now, improve it doesn't mean that you have to show those skills. You don't have particular skills on maybe speaking better, writing better, inspiring better. You have a makeup, not a disc makeup, but a makeup of different skill levels. And if you got the right second in command, third in command, you cover the bases pretty well. So is leadership recognizing that and understanding yourself first, right? That's what we talked about. That's what you were just suggesting. And that's true. If you don't understand yourself first, then it's going to be a little chaotic. You're going to be bouncing in and out at the wrong times with the wrong skill level, or the solutions are sitting right across the table from you if you take the mix and match approach to it all.
The mix and match.
Yeah.
One of these and four of those and two of those.
Pretty much, you know. I mean, if it's a big deal, a lot of collaboration with good people, both internal and external to the employment of the company, is the way to go.
I think leadership is one of those things, Jack, that we see. It's forced upon people, right? And so they have to do something about it. So I think there's, as you look around, there are all kinds of books, seminars, webinars, videos. You got all kinds of coaching resources that are there help to improve your leadership skills, right? So should I go get my leadership degree. Yeah, you can go get a degree in leadership, Jack. Is that really the answer? I guess what we're saying here is, you know, where we start with people is figure out, well, where should you start? Right. You know, it's like anything else. It's like, to your point, this is one of those topics that we could talk about for a while. Again, the fact that there are degrees for this, Jack, it tells you that it's pretty deep, well to kind of dig into. But it's a question of often, where do we start? That's often what we do with our clients. To come back to our seven keys. Look at that squeaky chair. It's good. Nope, it's a chair.
Can you hear that? Yeah. I don't want to fix it. I like to make that noise. That way I don't fall asleep.
That's good. But it's a question of where you start. So we use our seven keys framework, Jack, in terms of the overall business part to say, here's things you need to be focusing on. And key number five is leadership. And so, okay, well, within leadership, we suggest to start a couple places. The first one you're talking about, Jack, which is knowing yourself, which I think is very, very key. So if that's kind of maybe one or 1A or 1B might be also knowing your job, knowing what your job description is as that leader. I think if you start there, keep it real simple. So know thyself. You want to start there with kind of know yourself? Is that a good place to start? Because
it's as good a place as any.
That's the one thing that's been constant, Jack, no matter what role you've been in. You've been there. So you're there, right? So we can talk about that. So you mentioned DISC before. So for those of you who are new to the program, I haven't heard about DISC. It's not the discs in the back, as you always like to talk about, Jack, but the DISC here we're talking about, DISC, is the behavior assessment. And there are different styles. So D is that dominant, driving, demanding type. The I is the influencer. The S is the steadier, stable person, and the C is the compliant person. But there's a natural style, natural way that we do things. And you've been that way for a while. You know, assuming you're at least in your late teens or early 20s, your style is pretty much set. So you are who you are, right? And, you know, there's that famous phrase, I think that folks have heard or used before, Jack, which is fake it till you make it. Right. And then maybe we've used that before. And I think it's,
I don't remember that one. I don't remember that.
You never heard that fake it till you make it? Oh, it's nope. You know. Well, faking it till you make it can be done in certain circumstances, Jack, but on that stage, naked on stage, the shining bright lights on you, it's real tough to fake it for a long time because those bright lights start to show all the warts real quick, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, it is. It's hard to fake it. It you can get by for a presentation or a little time, but you aren't going to really convince people if you don't have the right stuff. So you don't have it. You can't do anything about it. So other than collaborate, right. You know.
I think that's part of what you're alluding to earlier. You were talking about if you know yourself, you say, hey, if I pick my second in command, my third in command, the folks that you're picking there should be folks that help to complement you and maybe point some of the gaps. So like you mentioned, I think one of the things you talked about, Jack, was, hey, you know, you need to be a little inspirational. Maybe you aren't very good at being inspirational. So again, it's like telling jokes, right? If you aren't good at telling jokes and you go tell jokes, it's going to be awkward, you know? Maybe someday you'll get better at it and you'll be to where it's not awkward anymore, but it's still not quite good. Okay.
Well, that's same, right. Yeah. You feel it. Right. You feel it right away.
So the same thing is going to be true if you're not kind of that very inspirational style in terms of the person. You know, when I think about this, one of my earlier memories of a guy like Tony Robbins, so I think people are pretty familiar with. Tony Robbins is a very inspirational kind of person. He has a certain style and approach, right? Well, no matter how bad I'd want to be Tony Robbins, Jack, I can never be Tony Robbins, you know, because Tony Robbins and I are very different in terms of our styles and our approaches. And so that's just not, so if I try with all my might, try to be like Tony Robbins, it's not going to happen. And so why try to be like Tony Robbins? I should be like Adam. I should be like me.
That's right. Adam with all his skills and non-skills. That's right.
That's it. And embrace that and start to get comfortable with that. And so understanding that as the owner, you are getting pushed up onto that stage, right? You're getting there. So who do you want to be? And so if you're not comfortable with yourself, it's going to be a tough spot to be. It really is. Versus one of the things we do with our clients is help them get comfortable with themselves, understanding what their natural strengths are. To your point, Jack, help them understand where maybe there's some weaknesses or there's some gaps and say, okay, well, hey, how do we plug the gap? Instead of you being there, let's find somebody or somebodies to kind of plug in there who have those natural mm-hmm. natural skills and tendencies. And so, you know, being aware of kind of what yourself is in terms of how you're going to lead, in terms of what you want to do. So if you're that inspirational, you can bring folks up to the mountain. That's great. How do you use that to the benefit of your company? If you're one of those more quiet people, more analytical people, again, because it's not a good or bad thing. We've seen successful owners, successful leaders that have all the different styles, Jack. But what we see it's constant is that the folks who have it is they embrace their style. They embrace what it can do to help them succeed, help their team succeed, and then also understanding what the gaps are and be able to kind of fill some of those gaps.
So how do you get better? How do you put out a plan to get better? Well, if you identify yourself, your own strengths and weaknesses, and you're pretty objective about that, or you find a way to be as objective as possible, you are what you are.
Right.
All right. So that means if you're heading up a little company and a small business, you are what you are, and you see an opportunity in front of you, or you have it's an opportunity. It's something you maybe haven't done as your company leader before, or the company itself hasn't done it. So are we talking about leading on the day-to-day basis or leading a particular project? That's why the qualifiers are so many and varied, that to hone in on what makes a good leader and how to make it better, you almost have to be general. Can't be specific. Unless, I'm looking at a critiquing of my strengths and weaknesses, and now I can be specific about item number three,
Well, I think maybe this is a good chat, Jack. Are there certain things that you kind of have to do? Again, I'll come back to, we're focused on, you owning a business, but I think that these things we're talking about, Jack, are true across no matter what organization you're part of, right? Whether you're part of a local church group or synagogue, or your local PTA, or your local, your local service club like Rotary, again, you're in these roles. Are there certain things that are non-negotiable, let me say? And so I think that there are. One I would say that's non-negotiable is you have to get comfortable being in front of an audience, standing up in front of an audience as a leader. If you can't do that, how are people going to follow you?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think you have certain things like that you have to be able to kind of do. And so, again, some folks are very natural at that, Jack. As we know, we've been involved in groups over the years. And for those of you maybe who've been in B&I or things like that over the years, where there's groups where you have to get up every week and talk, right? Certain folks, they get up and they can just, get up and talk. And they can talk for whether it be a minute or an hour, Jack. They just it just flows, right? Whereas other folks, I mean, getting out of their seats for 30 seconds, Jack, it's a strain. And they can't get back in that seat fast enough, right? Or one of the tricks that we've used over the years, we've talked about a lot, is whiteboards and the power and the magic of whiteboards, Jack. And what's one of the heaviest things in the world with whiteboards is you get the marker, right? You hand that marker to somebody. Here it is. Okay, I'm handing the marker to you to go up to the board, Jack, right? How many times, Jack, have we seen people grip their chair and hold fast? Like, well, hey, no, you're doing a great job, Jack. You stay up there versus get them up out of their seat. Get up to the board, all right? I mean,
that's how most people are. I would say most people are like that.
Well, that's what.
Go on.
That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying being in that spotlight, Jack. Because it's not like most owners are going to have a chance where they have to get up in front of a huge audience on an auditorium on stage. The stage for the small business owner, Jack, is often in that conference room in your office, going to that whiteboard. That's often your stage, okay? And that's how you start to kind of grow and start to get better at those things. But they have to get up and present and be comfortable being in front of an audience.
Oh, you said the key there is present. That's the telltale sign. If you do, and I agree, if you have a weakness that doesn't allow you to get up fairly comfortably and explain something in a meeting that you're correctly invited to, so you should have an idea of the subject, the matter at hand, then you should be able to say something that makes sense.
That's about as general as you can get. You got to say something that makes sense. I love it. That's good.
So if you're not at all prepared, you're going to try to wing it. Coming back to you can't fake it. So leader is not only comfortable in their own skin, because what can you do with that skin? You can't change it around, put it on somebody else. You are what you are, right?
Right.
So you know, to be able to move forward, you are what you are. So if you're anticipating the decision I'm going to make today, if I'm anticipating its cause and effect, I'm going to adjust. A good leader will adjust. We'll take into consideration the team, the people that's being played, the finances, the organization, the priorities. You know, I know the organization well. I know the players in it well. So it's up to me to be the leader to put the right people in the right places. Collins' book, talking about putting the right people on the bus.
Yeah, good degree. And
then, yeah, and then put them in the right seat. That's the job of a leader, to really understand his organization, the depths of it, keep his brighter people, you know, that he identifies, keep them challenged, let them grow. And the other worker bees, let them maintain the hive, right?
Right.
So a good leader will recognize that and spend his time or her time on looking at the people, looking at the tasks at hand. Who's best to do it? That's a definition of a leader. Sure, we could have 50 of them.
Well, again, you know, if you don't know yourself or what how you are, it's hard to then kind of pick those new people. So you got to start with yourself. And you mentioned something early on there. You mentioned about in terms of how you prepare for stuff. I think that's a key thing to understand as well. Where some of us are better at winging things, where other ones need to be more prepared for stuff. All right. So if I come back to the whole presenting, like you said, you know, getting in front of an audience, something you're always poking at me. Where when we first started this thing almost 18 years ago. You know, he couldn't get me to say very much. And now he can't get me to shut up, you said, right? So why is that? Well, it didn't happen by accident. Right?
That's right. Sure didn't.
it took some time. It took some years to kind of do it. But, you know, understanding myself, understanding my style in terms of how I'm not comfortable normally being in the spotlight. But I can get there, you know, and knowing my style and how I prepare for stuff. And so it used to be that I couldn't, or I would avoid getting up if people would put the spotlight. I would duck and dodge and do whatever I could to kind of, you know, kind of get out of it. Versus now, I'm used to it. You know, it doesn't create the angst or the challenge. Now, it doesn't get me all energized and excited, Jack. Okay, but it doesn't wipe me out and drain me the way it used to. Mm-hmm. And I started to understand that for me, it was important that, hey, you know, give me a little heads up. So if you want me to talk somewhere or do something, okay, at least give me. Give me a day. Give me a little heads up so I have some time to prepare. To your point, right?
Right. For the preparation is a big confidence builder.
Right.
It's, you know, if you put in good preparation time, a little role playing, certainly a little presenting beforehand. You hear yourself talking. You know what works and doesn't mentally, and you're prepared, so you can go up there with a lot of confidence.
And whereas other folks who are listening go, well, no, that's no big deal for me. Just let me know and I'll get right up. And they'll pop out of their chair and they just start going. And like I said, whether you need them for a minute or an hour, they can just kind of go. And so, again, these aren't good or bad things. I can come back to that. And these aren't things that are going to, make you tremendously successful or deter you. It's a matter of just, again, understanding what you're working with here. You know, what do you have to work with and start to kind of make those adjustments to start to kind of do that. So to your point, Jack, I think it's helpful if we have to do a little self-analysis. To your point, Jack, we can't necessarily tell our audience what do you need to work on because, again, it's going to be unique to you.
But that's correct.
And it's never done either, Jack. That's one of the things, too. It's not like looking at, you know, stamps, like, okay, here you are. You're done as a leader. You're done evolving and done developing. You can't get any better, Jack. That's it. You're done.
You know it all. That's right. You know it all.
I made it.
You're expert in it all.
I made it.
That's right.
So
awareness is a key word for any leader. You know, you try to look at, try to define a leader as an example, and you're using movies to make points. And, you know, often that's not the real world. Leadership is basically, if I'm in charge of a project or if I'm in charge of a pile of money, I have to have a plan for it. I have to, and that plan will be drawn from the best of my abilities, but will it be the best possible outcome that we're laying a track down for? unless I collaborate. And that's got to be a big sign of a leader. It's got to be. I don't know it all. I can't know it all. Even though people will ask me to know it all, I can't know it all. That's one of the big fallacies of leadership as defined by the general person. You know, it doesn't work like that. So we like to have our three-word definition of a CEO: plan, direct, control. If I have a pretty good plan, and I'll bring people in, both within the company and out of the company, if it's a big enough deal. So now we got a plan that has measurable steps to it. Now I can direct activity. And to me, that's leadership. That's good leadership. I don't have to be the smartest. I don't have to be the funniest. I don't have to be the disciplinarian, the court jester. I don't have to have all those skills. But I got to bring the skills to bear. That to me is the definition of a good leadership.
So we talked about knowing yourself first, right? This one you're talking about now is also knowing your job. Right? So you got to know yourself, and then you got to know your job. And so we keep it real simple. That whole idea of plan, direct, and control, Jack, right? That's that's your job. So you don't have to have all the answers, right? But you often have to know what to do next. And part of the framework that we use, our seven keys framework, ties into it. Well, what should we be doing? So if we talk about the whole idea of plan, direct, control, that's it. Again, whether you're running your small business or whether you're running a large business, whether you're involved in volunteer stuff, it doesn't matter. Your job as a leader, what's the plan? That's the first place it starts, Jack, right? Because guess what? If there ain't no plan, well, that's usually the place to start. Let's figure out what are we going to do?
What are we doing here?
Now, that might sound silly to most owners. Like, we just kind of show up. We start to run. And there's so many businesses that are run that way, Jack. Right? You kind of come in and you go, right? You come in and you're responding to phone calls and emails and people coming in or wherever it might be. And so you're constantly kind of doing stuff versus, wait, what's the plan? What's the plan for today? What's the plan for this week or this month or this year? And let's take a step back and pause and breathe for a second. So, okay, what are we trying to accomplish versus just doing stuff, right? Because that can often wear people out, Jack. As you mentioned before, you know, if you're looking to be a leader, what often I think will stop people from stepping forward is, hey, I don't want to do it all, Jack. I don't want to do it all. It's like, wait a minute, how did that become part of the lexicon where everybody believes that's what the job of the leader is, just to do everything, right? That isn't the job of the leader, to do everything. If you're doing all the time, you can't plan, direct, and control because you're too busy doing stuff, right?
I don't think most small business owners understand what planning is.
Okay.
And that poses a problem for them. So as we're talking, people are listening to this podcast, their perception of planning is, I'm almost going to guarantee it, different than mine, different than yours, right? When I say plan, I always have a picture of our profit plan, the format of it in my mind. And most people will call it a budget, as we well know. We hate that word, budget. But the profit plan basically is what we're calling a plan. And that basically is at the top of the mountain. Everything else stems from that. So all the activity that goes on in my company, that activity has to be directed in some form. Either I'm standing in the middle of the operation 8 hours a day, standing right in the middle of it like a traffic cop, the old traffic cops. Or, you know, I have a system in place that allows me to do that. And the point being, I have to have a plan to be able to be a good leader. I have to. Other than, hey, just to hell with it, let's all go charge the hill, right? Who cares? You know, whoever makes it, whoever doesn't, doesn't. That's not leadership, I don't believe.
Well, no, I think if our audience stops and thinks about that, Jack, if you think about situations where you felt good versus situations where you felt uncomfortable. And if you look at the leader, I think to your point, you know, the places where you felt good and excited, there usually is a plan in place. Whereas the times where you don't feel excited or you feel drained, it's like, what are we doing here? It's when somebody cannot articulate the plan.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I think if people think back by that, and keep in mind, people might be complaining about you from that standpoint, yeah, saying, hey, wait a minute, whenever I get involved with her, you know, there's never a plan. I feel like we're just kind of winging it, right? And well, that's just my style. Like, okay, well, understand that not everybody, you know, responds to that. You know, at least have some idea what we're trying to do here. So that planning is a big deal. Planning is a big deal.
Yes, it is. And don't be intimidated if you're a business owner, small business owner. Don't be intimidated by the fact that you have to have a plan that's complex, and you have to spend countless hours understanding the formulas and the terminology. You don't have to do that. You can use a budget format to come up with a plan, and basically you're going to have everything necessary to say, look, here's what I want to do for this next year, next 5 years, whatever it's going to be. And you can prepare those documents. And by preparing them with a little bit of help first time through, you're going to have the mechanism to basically be a leader that's making sense, making money on purpose, right? And being able to make the environment conducive to have good people and challenge good people. You can have all that. And that to me is a good leader. Not watching the time clock, not berating them for God knows what, you know. Have them present, have them be part of the planning process, and encourage them to be active. And that to me makes a good leader, who's there to sit down and talk to you about stuff. You got problems, you know. I don't have all the answers, Anna, but hey, why don't we go out and get a beer and let's talk a little bit. You know, what's wrong with that? That's a good leader. That's a good leader who basically is showing the concern and taking the time to do something about it, giving the best he has or she has. You know, I'll give you my advice. Here's what I'd do. Boom. All right. That's pretty good. Leaders don't have to be complicated either. They shouldn't be.
No, and the plan you're talking about is what kind of drives and directs everybody. So come back to plan, direct, control. You're kind of getting into the direction part, Jack, where you kind of direct your people to get stuff done. If they don't know what the plan is, well, what are we all trying to accomplish, right? Versus if we all know what the plan is, at least we're all aiming in the same direction, right? Hey, if the goal is to drive from here to California, at least I know what the plan, like, the goal is. Okay, well, how are we getting there? Well, there's lots of ways to get there, right? At least I know what the goal is going to be, right? And if we get up, okay, so if we have that profit plan in place for the year, we know here's what our goal is for the year. The question becomes, well, what am I doing today to help make that plan a reality? Mm-hmm. Now, today might be, hey, I have to respond to some customer issues to do that. We got some production stuff. Okay, so that's what you're doing today. But that's what you're doing every day. Well, you're missing some parts. You're missing some pieces. You know, we're doing other things we have to do to get this thing, to make this plan happen. And at some point, we have to stop. We have to put together, or we have to do some things on the marketing front to do this, to be able to kind of grow, to add new customers, right? There's things we have to do, again, to make that plan a reality. That the plan's there. We're shooting for that, but there's activities that make those things start to kind of happen. And so your point about the direction of your team, here's the plan. The plan's laid out. We're all part of it. We're all on board with it. Okay, who's doing what? Who's doing what? Right. So and often what happens, what we find, Jack, is that often if you don't have people to do certain parts of the plan, usually the place where it goes is right back to the owner, and the owner kind of plugs those gaps to be able to kind of start to do some of those things.
Yeah, the owner will make the decision, even though they aren't the best qualified to do it.
Somebody's got to do it, right? Somebody's got to do it. So we're going to get some stuff done here. And so, you know, for the direction part of it, again, if we don't have a plan, it becomes very difficult to direct, Jack, right? Because again, then we're just doing activity to get stuff done for the day. And that's where I think often people will feel the pressure. How many times have we heard from the owner, like hiring somebody new, and we'll have to keep that person busy, Jack?
Yeah,
busy, right? It's like, wait a minute, this person's coming in to help get stuff done, to help make that plan a reality. We've identified in our plan that we need somebody to help do these things. So that's what that person's doing. So the job isn't to keep them busy. The job is to bring them in and direct them to make sure that they're helping us achieve that plan. And it makes sense that they can help us achieve that plan. So we're starting to direct them through stuff.
How relatively simple that is, isn't it?
Right.
So why do we make it so complex? Well, why do we not identify leadership skills? And although I'm sure there are a lot of books out there that identify leadership skills, but it comes down to common sense, doesn't it? And try to build a plan short-term with long-term outlooks.
Well, it's not working, Jack, because as you said so astutely a little while ago, that most people are not planning.
Right.
Most people are afraid of it because they've heard some awful things, or it's not what they need, right? And so, but to have no plan at all, often owners will go that direction. We'll just kind of make it up as we go along. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what often happens is you often get stuck somewhere, you know, doing that. And so, if the planning part's down, it allows the direction. It also allows the control piece. So the control piece, that's something that we're, again, control is in people's mind's eye here. So, but we're talking about from a control standpoint, it's just making sure we got some regular rhythm in place. You have some structured meetings. You got some reports that you're able to kind of see. So it enables you to get a good sense of, hey, are we doing the right things to make the plan happen? And we can correct and adjust along the way, because if we start for the plan for this year and we start out in January to try to hit the plan, okay, well, if we make no corrections or adjustments at all by December, you know, we're not hitting the plan, Jack, because we haven't modified or adjusted things along the way.
Sure. That's right.
And so if we're not having regular meetings and we're not tracking stuff to say, well, how do we do in January? So, hey, you know, our actual results were this. Our plan was this. Are we meeting plan, beating plan, not doing it versus let's just wait to see how we do at the end of the year, Jack. Let's see how we did. Well,
a lot of small businesses do that.
Right.
And they don't believe nor see the power in laying out your ideas the best you can with your best people and then trying to achieve those benchmarks. It's vital. It's vital to have some measurables against the plan. So you put some hard time in November and maybe December, putting your plan for the next calendar year in place. And then you control that through meetings and reports. And that's it. I mean, in the conceptual sense, that's it. So we go to great extremes in November, December, saying, hey, we can only get our sales up to 2 million and our profit of 10% on that. What a great year that would be. So let's do all in our power to make that year happen. And if we start to slide a little bit, we take corrective action and, you know, do something about it short term. And if, you know, all of a sudden we exceed that, it's the same thing. It's an opportunity, chase an opportunity. What's the impact on the plan? Well, I don't want to screw the plan. I want to chase this opportunity. Well, no, you don't do that. In November, we love the whole idea of getting 2 million plus 10%. Now, all of a sudden, what? We're going to abandon that and chase something else. We don't know what we're doing. It's business, a well-run small company, and you know I've said this a million times, it gets boring. It gets boring when everything's in place. Everyone knows what they should be doing within, you know, reasonable ranges. The meetings kind of clarify things. Any big problems we know about, and we know its impact on the profit plan, and we know what we got to do to try to get back and right-side it. It's not hard. It's just small business is not hard. It's just the chaos that's created without planning and perhaps the experience of the person leading the company. They don't have enough business acumen to really direct the company. So they're called a leader because they own a company, not because they're a good leader. And so how do you get better? How do you get better? How do you become a better leader?
Well, I think the case we're making today, Jack, is we're talking about these two things to start with, right? Because you got to start somewhere. So right. If you start with knowing yourself, know thyself. That was our talk about, you know, DISC and styles and knowing your strengths and weaknesses. But then the second part here is knowing your job. So mm-hmm. Know yourself and know your job. And if you have those two things down to start with, the other parts start to kind of come. But if you aren't,
you got a good chance. Yeah, you got a good chance of right.
But if we aren't, right. If we aren't appreciating and knowing ourselves, and we don't know what our job is, we're not going to be doing good from a leadership standpoint, you know. And it's one of those things. If I can quote the late great Frank Sinatra, right? You know, you kind of do, you know, do it my way, right? Do it your way, because everybody's style is unique, Jack. You know, again, because we all have different experiences, different things that we've done, so. Instead of trying to avoid your true self, again, let's embrace it and try to lead the best possible way for your style. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to mess up along the way, but it's okay. It's okay. It's part of the growth. You're trying different things. Try to see how things kind of go. And so you know, maybe you think you're getting good at telling jokes and it just falls flat. Okay, well, hey, maybe keep working at it, right? You'll get there eventually. Maybe you'll go to an open mic night and, you know, do some stand-up comedy, you know, to try that out, right? There's different things you can do to kind of get yourself evolved. So if you do that, standing in front of your 10 employees won't seem so intimidating anymore, Jack, right? I've been in an open mic like that. So there's different ways, right? But it starts with that in terms of, again, starting to kind of know yourself and knowing your job. And if you start there, you're going to have some very, very good luck. And I don't care what stage you're at, Jack, in terms of your leadership, whether you're new at this stuff or you've been doing it for decades. If you focus on just those two things of knowing and appreciating yourself and knowing your job, you're going to have some good luck as being a very successful leader.
All right. Those are good points, Adam. Good points.
All right. So to wrap up like that, that's our show for today. We appreciate you listening. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. You can check them all out there. Better yet, if you have a smart device, go to your favorite podcast player, whether it be Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and you can search for Dirty Secrets of Small Business right there, and you can subscribe to it. We usually drop a new show every Thursday, and it'll get delivered right to your device. So it's right there, you know, if you're listening, pleasure. If you want to leave a review, that'd be fantastic as well. If you want to be part of the show, you can do that. You can email us at radio@maximumvp.com with your questions, thoughts, or comments. You can also call us 877-849-0670. Make sure you tune in next week. We're going to be talking about a fun topic in terms of customers, Jack. It's something that people talk about a lot, but we find that rarely ever happens. And so our topic for next week is, how do I know it's time to fire a customer?
That's a good one. I like that.
So be sure to tune in next week for that one. We'll have that coming. But that's the show for this week. It's been great talking with you. We'll talk with you all next week.
Okay. Have a good one. St. Paddy's Day.